Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We studied the first few verses intently, but verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on this earth, for you are dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And then it goes on about putting off all of these things that are the specifics which we've talked about. But in verse 9 it says, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the whole old man with his deeds. The word put off there, the words put off, mean you have left it, you've taken off, it's like you have really dirty clothes and you've taken everything off and left it behind. Now, But the problem is that you've got certain clothes on that you don't think are dirty. And so you keep those. You've got like your favorite shirt or your favorite tie. And so you keep those. But to God, all of that, all of the old man, all of you is a stench. And so you have to take all of you off and leave you behind. Now, that's... And again, it's not what you think is good or not good. It's abandoning all of you. That's the essence of the gospel, because there's a new life. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Now the process of sanctification is going from believing in Jesus to seeing Christ as all and in all. That's the same process that Abraham went through. When it says he saw Abraham's day and was glad, when Christ said it, when Paul says the gospel was first preached unto Abraham, Abraham slowly took off the old man and left him behind. Not just the things he thought was bad or good or anything. He took all of him off. And that's what it took. It took him 100 years to take off his clothes. You don't want to take that long. You don't have that long to live. Now, think about it. If you know you haven't taken off all of everything, if you still are concerned with you, if you have any concerns about your future, about what you're doing or not doing, then you haven't taken off the old man. Anybody understand that? If you become the subject of your sentence, then you're putting back on the old man. And put on the new, which is renewed in knowledge. Remember we've talked about that, but anyway. After the image of him that created him. Again, this ancient prayer that we found is so important. It's, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal life. Live thou thy life in me. Do thou thy will in me. Be thou made flesh in me. I have no life but thee. I have no will but thine. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. That's the full gospel. Now, do you have a will? Are you still making choices? Are you still concerned about whether or not you're doing something or not doing something? Then you are still seeing through the glass darkly. You've still got some dirty, you've got some filthy clothes on still. Does everybody understand? Anybody don't understand? Doesn't understand? Are you willing to take off those, the old man? Are you willing to put them off? No. What we're talking about here now is this incredible statement. But Christ is all and in all. Is there any place where you look or any situation that you find yourself in that you don't see it as Christ is all and in all? Do you understand what that means? What's going on? How come you're bunches? It's like speaking to dead meat. I'm talking to the ceiling is what I'm doing. I'm doing this boom, 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 boom.
Well, you are dead.
Yeah, but the new man has a response.
You ask him if we see what it means that Christ is all in all. And I flashed on walking to the coffee shop by myself this morning. Everybody else was late. I didn't feel very up or anything, but I saw that just as a way of contrasting the certainty and the joy that was deep in me. You know, if I feel good, I'm not so aware of the joy because I'm feeling okay. But if I get to feeling bad and then I examine myself, which is what I talked about last night, to see if Christ is in me, it's like there's joy in me. And so, when you say Christ is all in all, it's like that's part of what it means to me. In whatever situation that might seem bad, that's Christ and or God using that to reveal what is Himself.
I was thinking about this morning when I wrenched my back, just because it seems like it alters everything. I'm always bouncing around during the day doing stuff, and now I can't do that. So it has to be something deeper than what I do, absolutely.
Well, let's see if we can figure it out.
Roger, got something. In the past, as you spoke about with choice, I figured in the past, every man's destiny is relied upon the choices that he makes. And sometimes people make good choices, bad choices. I thought it's always the freedom of choice of which you choose your destiny. Choice, because I always thought God gave you the freedom of choice, but then now I sort of got to a stage over the last couple of years where I just let his providence go, because his outcome, no matter what, is going to happen. Now instead of me just rushing in there, well, if this is going to be my life, I'm gonna have a destiny where I rule it, whether I succeed or where I fail. Ain't no other man going to dictate that, because if another man chooses poorly, that's him, and if another man chooses to see, that's going to be his choice, but my choice is going to be my best. But now I'm coming to the state where
you're coming to, you better be coming to a state where you have no choice.
Yeah, but I just let it just flow.
Right, but choice assumes that there's free will, that you have the freedom to choose or not choose, and that's what the whole world teaches. But think about it. There's only two wills in the universe. If Jesus Christ was the last Adam, who are you? If he was the last human, who are you? The only two choices that ever existed were the will of God or the will of Satan. And the will of God is expressed only in your abandonment of self. The will of Satan is expressed in the illusion of free will. choices. That's huge. So we start out the process. We're in a position of weakness, and somebody tells us about Christ, and so we believe in Him. And for a long time, it's me and Jesus, separate. He's guiding my life. I'm going to make the right choices to please Him. I'm this isolated being that's separate from life, that's separate from the source. And I'm kind of pitiful. Slowly but surely, the light dawns. The day star is rising in your heart. And pretty soon you find out, I no longer believe in Him. I live by the faith of Him. I am saved by His life in me. I abandon, I empty, I take no thought. We start out believing, well, because we hear it so much in our alleged spiritual leaders. I need to hide the Word of God in my heart. Because that's what it says. But the Word of God is Jesus Christ, and God has already hid Him in your heart. And the Word of God is revealed by your abandonment, by your repentance, by your turning from self, by your leaving yourself behind. Well, I'm going to study 3 scriptures a day. And I'm going to memorize. And then you find out the Word of God is already, the fullness of the Word is already in my heart. If I'm trying to memorize, then I'm using that which is cursed to gain that which is blessed. My mind is cursed. But you have to try and push all those things to the end. I could sit here and tell you till hell freezes over that your mind is cursed and you wouldn't believe it because you always think you got some great idea. So you have to go through and push everything to the end constantly to find out that your mind is a liar. That's all it's capable of doing is lying. And I can run across scriptures like this, that Christ is all and in all. So where can I look and not see Him? That's the place where faith is required. Because if I can see Him, if things are going well or if things are going the way I want them to, then it's easy. But if things are going the way you don't want them to, are you seeing Christ in that or are you begging to be delivered from it? Are you praying for it to change? If Christ is all and in all, then whatever you see is a lie if you don't see Him in all things. If you look back at your past and you regret anything, then Christ isn't all and in all, is He? If there is any if-onlys left in your life, then Christ isn't all and in all. Does that communicate? What?
If only I'd seen that 10 years ago.
You're probably going to die right now. Now, some of you are thinking about it. Can you see the fullness of the gospel? It isn't a partial gospel. It left something for you to do. What the hell are you doing?
Regret is all in all. So I thought about that while you were looking. Yes.
That's because there was somebody else doing something worse
I
than
know,
that.
I was glad. So, but in that process of thinking about the regret, it just provided, rather than a place of then feeling sorry for myself because I am still regretting, I found a place of repentance. So there's no place where he isn't. You know, he's all in it. Stop the process short. You'll never discover it.
I'm probably gonna regret this. There's some people here that have been in jail and prisons a whole lot of times, right? But I think I've been in prison or jail more than anybody has. And it was bad. I've never been in quote unquote prison as we think of for in the United States for extended times. But I was under house arrest in Colorado, armed guards 24 hours a day for 3 months. I was in jail more times than I can count before I reached 17. I was in prison in Japan. I was in jail in South Korea. I was in jail, prison, in Damascus, Syria. I won't bore you with all the details. But there is no place in my memory that I now don't see Christ. Now that's an incredible thing to say. Even the terrible things I did, the things where I felt I betrayed somebody, I see Christ in it. I see His life. I see every one of those instances, all of the things that were so incredibly terrible, as necessary. Now, that's why God, and if you can't see, oh, my father beat me and he yelled at me, and then see Christ in that. Oh, I was abandoned as a child and I was abused. See Christ. There is no place where He isn't in all of history and in all of your past. If you have these pockets of regret in your past, if you have any place in you in which you don't see Him, and that's the place of repentance. That's the process of sanctification. Is that clear? I was shot 3 times. I was hit by a landmine. I was held hostage. My life is a B movie. My body is a disaster. But I see Christ. Doesn't make me anything. It makes me less than the least. But I must see Him as all and in all.
If you don't take it that last step to where you do get to where you see Him, then it's the trick of the mind to give you life. Feeling like you're pitiful, you're sorry, you're something.
Right.
So you got to have the courage to go all the way with whatever crap your mind's pulling up.
Did you hear me? Does everybody hear this? Well, I can't believe God could have been in that. That's the mantra of Babylon. Because God is only in the bad stuff. God isn't in the bad stuff. That was Satan. The point of this mystery is that you must see God even in Satan, even in the great opposer. Can you hear me?
told the guys, I got a lot of things to tell you, but I don't think you can hear them right now.
I understand what you're saying. It's just like when I was paid fresh out of high school, I jumped out of my own, was living. I had to eat peanut butter and jelly for a whole year because I didn't know how to manage money. And I thought, God ain't with me. But then, as I got older, I learned from it. It's like, it taught me what it's like to be poor. And then, as I got something, it taught me what it's like to have something. His providence was working in. It reminds me of sometimes Luke 16:10, be faithful to little things, and then he'll make you successful for the big things. But then, as time went on, I started different travel tribulations. But then I took it later with this week. Maybe I'm going to learn something from it as I go through it. I'll never know his providence, what his outcome is, what he's doing it for. Many times I wonder why, but I didn't think of him then as I'm going through it. I don't know. Sometimes we all don't see his providence as we're going through something.
But you can't say his providence, because if you say his providence, then you can think you're independent of it. In other words, there's something he's doing to you or teaching you something. You must be they that continue with him. You must see that all the things that happened to you have happened to him, and he fulfilled them perfectly. It's his life. It's Christ in you. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in this body of sin and death, I live by the faith of him, and his faith is only revealed in my abandonment. If I think anything is going on, if I think I'm learning anything, then I am being deceived. Because the scriptures are clear. The anointing you have received, you have need that no man teach you, including yourself. Because he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is nothing that is lacking. The only time you're deceived is when you think something is happening, or something is happening to you, or you're learning something, or you need to know something, or you need to go somewhere, or you need something other than what you have. But the secret and the reason we're talking this morning is you must, by looking at this faith of Abraham through his entire life, seeing that he is the model Christian, you must see that you must transform even your memories. So that there is never a place in which you were not in Abraham's bosom. There is never a place where you were alone. There is never a place where you were abandoned. There's never a place where you were without the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And just as he learned obedience by the things that he suffered, obedience meaning hearing under the mystery, so will you. So have you, because he is. As he is in this world, so are we. Let's go to Hebrews 2. Verse 8, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Look around in all honesty. Look at history. Look at anything that you can see. Anything about your life that you don't think is right. Then you're saying that isn't under him. That isn't in his control. It isn't in his providence. But then it says, now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. And the only way you see Jesus in the things that you don't like or that you can't figure out is faith. And that's the meaning of faith. To see Jesus in all things. Wherever you look, if you think something is wrong, see Jesus instead of trying to correct it. Wherever you think in your mind that something needs to change, see Jesus. Whenever you judge another person, see Jesus. Instead of judging them. Instead of, because you have to come back to the gospel. The gospel says that Christ is all and in all. That everything is finished. That everything is perfect. That you are perfected in Him by one offering. That you need nothing. That you own all things. If anything is telling you something different than that, then faith demands that you see Him. Now that's the gospel. Let's see how it'll be lived today. Let's identify the sloth and repent of it. Do you know what sloth is in spirit? First of all, sloth is the opposite of love. But in a very real sense, sloth is doing what you want to do when you want to do it. Think on these things. What?
Said this before, but once in a while it happened this morning. You'll say something about your past, and there's this thing that comes up in me about when Rex was dying, and he called the office saying he was in a lot of pain, his back was hurting, and this thing. And previously, Doug had cracked his back for him and made him feel better. So I called Doug and asked him to do that. Now, I don't know if he did or didn't call him. I don't know. All I know is I found out day that he had died alone. And I think that there was something in there. Yeah, that was probably the right thing to do given the situation. But I think part of what was going on where it was I just didn't want to be bothered. And that's what comes back in me is a feeling of guilt. You know, leaving that guy down there by himself to die. And while you were talking this morning, that's something that that comes back. It just keeps coming back.
You didn't know what to do.
Not really.
We see not yet all things put under Him. There is something there that isn't in His control. Wasn't right because I feel guilty about it. We see not yet all things put under Him, but we see Jesus. You must understand that in the economy of God, whatever happened was exactly necessary for His mystery to be fulfilled. We look at, Michelle has so many kids, I get them confused. We look at Shannon. And that can't be. Something's wrong. But she may be more important to the economy of God than Paul himself. There is no thing that you... No place that you can look that you can't see Him if you repent, if you turn from you, if you stop making you the subject of your sentence. You see? Take hold of the light shining in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your life. Don't give sleep to your eyes or rest to your head until you find that out. Now you're seeing through the glass darkly. But if you can totally put off all of you, then you will see face to face. Amen? All righty. Take a big guy.